Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a great Thursday. Hope everybody's having a blessed day as well. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful today. I'm blessed of the Lord, buddy. So, yeah, doing good.
Good.
What's going on with the news today?
Well, the first thing that I find pretty wild today is Boeing, the plane company, is studying pilotless planes as it ponders its next jetliner. They said Boeing company is looking ahead to make jetliners fly without pilots and aim to test some of the technology next year. The world's biggest plane maker said in a briefing at the Paris Air Show, the basic building blocks of the technology are clearly available, said Mike Sinnott, Boeing's vice president. Jetliners can already take off, cruise, and land using their onboard flight computers, and the number of pilots on a standard passenger plane has dropped from two from three over the years. Sinnott, a pilot himself, plans to test the technology in a cockpit simulator this summer. He said he'll fly on an airplane next year with some artificial intelligence that makes decisions that pilots would make, he said. Now, the problem is, guys, where we're starting to see all this going, you know, we're seeing autonomous vehicles, which is going to put a lot of Uber and taxi stuff out of business once that starts rolling out, which I hope it doesn't, but it's probably going to. They've already discussed now autonomous semi-truck drivers, which I talked about in detail. Now we're talking about autonomous Boeing planes with no pilots on them. The problem is nobody wants to bring up the elephant in the room. What are all these people going to do when there's no jobs left? Right now in the United States, there's roughly 590,000 active certified pilots in the U.S., almost 600,000 pilots. I don't even have the numbers on semi-truck drivers or taxi cab drivers or Uber drivers, any of this stuff. Nobody's wanting to discuss what we're going to start doing if we do stuff like this and literally start putting millions upon millions of people completely destitute with no jobs that they've had for 10, 20, 30 years, and replace them with AI or autonomous vehicle driving. That's a significant issue, Dad, and the problem is nobody wants to bring it up. All everybody wants to talk about is how great this technology is, how it's going to save them money, how they're going to do this with that, how it's going to save this, and it's going to be easier to park the car, and it's going to save people from getting wrecks. But again, nobody's wanting to address what's going to happen when we have millions of people that don't have jobs anymore and there's no need for those jobs anymore.
Well, that's not going to be a problem, Austin, because they're planning on killing everybody.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, just, you know, let's just be just as candid as we can be about that. I mean, that's what this whole thing's about. I mean, the United States basically is no longer producing, you know, white people in a reproductive fashion to replace them. Germany's not, Denmark's not, England's not. I mean, you know, this whole thing with the Gardasil shots they're doing, it's going to destroy the fertility of an entire generation coming up. I mean, they realize they've got a problem because of this autonomy of these machines. I mean, we've already lost a lot of machines, a lot of jobs in the manufacturing sector because the machines basically took over with the welding robots, et cetera. I mean, all these cars used to be all welded by hand and produced by hand, and I've been blessed enough to be able to tour several manufacturing facilities in Europe. I was actually able to get one time. I was able to get into the Mercedes factory, and I actually watched them dip cars automatically like a zinc oxide solution. I mean, the entire body. They dip it inside of a big vat of this liquid stuff. It pops back up. I mean, everything's automated. The only thing they're doing is they have guys working on the machines, making sure the machines run right. And the amount of labor they put into these cars now is just a fraction of what it used to be. But this is what the whole thing is going back down to. This is why they're now openly admitting they're working on brain interface technology to tie us into the AI. They're openly admitting this. They're openly admitting to spraying chemtrails right now. They're openly admitting to everything as part of this research that they're doing. And what they're telling us basically is, hey, look, we already know how to tie your brain into an AI. We've already been spraying chemtrails. We're just letting you know in advance that we're doing this so you can't tell us that we didn't warn you what was fixing to happen. But if they have a 90% reduction of the population, you get rid of Henry Kissinger call all of us who basically he didn't like useless eaters. Useless eaters. Yeah. I mean, that's what we are, right? Useless eaters, Henry Kissinger. And you know, so to me, he's just like, he's a useless human being. And so this is what's going on. They don't really care about this because remember, I mean, even Deagle in his research says this, you know, this big, you know, big website thing that talks about forecasts is that the population of the United States is going to drop by some 200 million, 250 million. in the next 5 years, 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, this is where they're headed with us. And I, again, if Paul Craig Roberts is, you know, talking about how, you know, we're going to have a nuclear exchange with Russia. Russia, Putin just said in his little interview he had last week that he did not expect a nuclear exchange with the United States, because if we had a nuclear exchange with Russia, with the United States, both peoples would be completely wiped off the face of the planet. They're not going to pull another Genesis 6. Remember, God pulled the Genesis 6. God pulled the Genesis. Okay, we lost the live feed on air, so we're not having a feed right now, Austin. Can Todd check this? I can hear you.
I don't know. I'm can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Hey, Todd, can you hear us? Sharon just walked in and dropped a note in front of me, which she never does unless something's going on. But apparently the live show is not really being played, but it'll be played on the archives. Sorry if you guys are listening live. But this is what's going on, Austin. They're doing everything they possibly can to reduce the population of the planet. They're doing everything they possibly can to make us useless eaters. They're doing everything they possibly can to decrease the birth rates. They're doing everything they possibly can to turn the planet upside down from how God created it. This is exactly what they did once before. These entities, these fallen angels, these demons, these whatever you want to call them, extraterrestrials, and they're coming in and they're doing it again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon the return of Jesus. That's what Jesus himself said, because he knew this was coming back again. See, these guys aren't going to quit. It says in the book of Noah, in the book of Genesis, that they were there before and also after the flood. Now, a lot of theologians want to say, well, they don't do anything bad anymore because they're not around anymore. Are you like dreaming? Are you like, what are you, they're not reading the same Bible I'm reading? Of course they are. And this is exactly what they're doing, is they're bringing it right back to where it was 3, 4, 5,000 years ago. And it's taken them this long to get their control grid back into place. They're not going to nuke us. I'm telling you that right now. They're not going to nuke us. We're not going to have a nuclear exchange. The weaponry we have now is so advanced, our space-based weapon platforms that don't destroy the atmospheric conditions, that they're not going to nuke us. They could wipe out entire cities, continents off the space-based weapon platforms. We know that. Dr. Judy Wood talks about that in her book, Where Do the Towers Go? I mean, we know they have that technology available to them. We have that ability. So nuclear weapons are something they use to fear people with. It's to keep everybody that fear mindset, to make people, oh my God, they're going to nuke us. And that's what they're trying to do. They're not going to nuke us. Now, they may dump a bunch of biologicals on us, or a bunch of nerve gas, that fluorine gas, and they may do that. That would kill half the population, three quarters of the population. Now, that's a very real possibility, but that'll be quick. So that's not a big deal. If we go out that quick and we get our benefit, we get to do that. But I'm not believing that, because, I mean, the Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. I personally believe, as long as we're calling on Yahweh and Yeshua, this is not going to come near us. I really believe that. Now, do I believe we need to be prepared? Yes. Do I think we should have a prepared mindset? Yes. But I've got to walk in faith and believe that my God's going to protect me. That's the only way I can live. Otherwise, you live in a constant state of anxiety and fear and panic, and you can't live like that either. That just elevates cortisol, makes you die young. So what was the difference? What was your net gain there? And the Bible says in the book of Matthew, I believe it's in Matthew, or maybe in Mark, when Jesus says, who by worrying can add a single moment to their life? And that's why we can't be all stressed out all the time. We just got to realize it's going to, you know, one thing after another thing. I mean, it's like with the rocket engines that they ran with Wernher von Braun and all the other things they had. All they said was it was one series of just, you know, a constant series of problem solving exercises. That's all it is. And that's all life ends up being for all of us anyhow, is that we all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Apostle Paul said. And now we know, because of the covenant we have with Christ and the ability that he's given us through that, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, is what it says in the book of Hebrews. And we know that we have the ability to do that. So I personally believe that I know who my Redeemer is, and that I'm good with all of this stuff, and God's still in charge overall. You know, there may be some momentary blips or whatever, like there were in the Roman Colosseums when they were sacrificing Christians and all the crazy stuff they do. But guys, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That's how I got to look at it, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. But that, a lot of that does tie in and make sense, because that's what a lot of people have asked me, you know, when they're bringing all these autonomous vehicles in and bringing the robots in for these jobs. And the more they're doing this now, the less jobs are going to be available. And that makes sense then, if they're trying to get rid of a large percentage of the population. Also, too, I wanted to touch base on real quick, if anybody saw the congressional hearing with Comey today, definitely a couple interesting things with that were going on. One of the first ones that we saw is that the testimony hasn't revealed a single shred of evidence to support the delusional conspiracy theory that claims the Russians hacked the election for Donald Trump. I thought that was funny because that whole thing, as I said from the beginning, was total mainstream propaganda to try and put that idea into the population when there wasn't a single shred of evidence. Probably one of the most wild things, as far as he said, is his admission that Loretta Lynch pressured him to lie to the American public about the criminal investigation with the Hillary campaign, as Comey admitted in sworn testimony that Lynch directly pressured him to avoid using the term investigation, where publicly discussing the investigation. Instead, he was told to use the term matter, and he promptly agreed to use that term in order to distort the public perception of the severity and criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton. Also, too, he didn't go into detail on this, but then it ties in now with Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac with Loretta Lynch. Also today, it confirmed that Comey did leak his own memo by using a close friend to funnel the memo to the press. After his firing and his Trump tweet, Comey asked a friend of his, Columbia law professor Daniel Richmond, to leak the content of his memos to the media with the hope of triggering the appointment of a special counsel. This open admission he orchestrated is essentially potentially an illegal leak, could put him in some significant trouble. So I don't know if anything's going to come about of this, whatnot, today, Dad, but I thought it was interesting that that went in today, and there wasn't a whole lot that I've seen this that's had any evidence really significantly towards Donald Trump.
All of this is obfuscation about Seth Rich, about what's going on in the real world, what's going on with the CIA, what's going on with the heroin crisis and the OxyContin crisis we have in the United States. All of this is just to obfuscate. This is bread and circuses. This is what this is. This is bread and circuses. It's to keep the masses asleep. They don't want to start realizing what's really going on. I mean, if any question should have been asked Comey, it should have been about the tarmac meeting with doggone Lynch and Clinton on the doggone campaign trail, when they basically were able to talk off record, off recorders, off everything, about Hillary and what was going to be done with Lynch. That's where this whole thing should be going. This should be a full-blown investigation into Barack Obama, his administration, and Hillary Clinton. But they're not doing that. You know, maybe ask a little question here and there. This is all about Trump, because these guys want to have Trump impeached, which they really don't care if Trump gets impeached, to be honest with you. They don't really care. They just want to have news. They want to have news coming in, and that's going to entertain the masses. Oh, my God, you hear what happened with Comey today and Trump? Oh, do you hear what they did? No, man, that's not cool. That's not cool. But this is what's going on, and it's happening all over Oz. It really is. By the way, here's the article I want to pull up. This is out of Activist Post. Companies are racing to perfect the computer-brain interface. Well, I got a news for you guys. They've already perfected this. Another example of the road to hell is paved by good intentions. That's how it starts off. No one would ever think to exploit a computer-brain interface with all of the malware out there. How could you guard yourself from such an intrusion? In other words, how about somebody hacks your brain, right? In this news shot, Joe Joseph discusses brain-computer interfaces that could turn us into programmable, debuggable machines and possible horrible consequences of such technology. I mean, think about it for a second, the guys. They want to tie us into a supercomputer, which we've talked about repeatedly, and that's the goal here. The goal is to reduce the population by 90% and basically only allow the breeding group to breed. See, they don't want smart people. They don't want people listening to my show, on our show, or Quayle, or Hagman, or Hodges, or Sheila. They don't want people that are awake. They want stupid people. They want really dumb people that have been stuck with a fluoride IV in their arm for the last 40 years. Who every time you ask them a question, they go, that's what they want. Go bend over. Go pick this up. Go dig this ditch. Okay. That's what they want. They want receptacle vessels to basically cause demonic, how should I say this, possession from. That's what they want. They want a bunch of autistic kids they can demonically possess. They want to have everybody as dumbed down as they possibly can, because a educated electorate, an educated group of people who are armed, who are the electorate, an educated group of people who are electorate who believe in God, who have conservative values, now you're starting to get kind of meddling on these guys, because now they don't want any of that stuff. They want to be able to tell you, go kill these people and let them fall into the ditch. Okay, you walk over there, you shoot the people, they fall into the ditch. It's kind of like the German soldiers did when they shot so many of those people, and like the Russian soldiers did when they shot their own officers in the back. I mean, this is what they want. They want a dumbed down electorate. I mean, you know, you and I've talked about it before. I remember John Liguria, one of the best defense attorneys in our area here. He said to me one time, I was talking to him, he's a friend of mine, he goes, here's the craziest thing, Ted, is we hire like the dumbest people on the planet, and we give them a badge and a gun, and we tell them to protect us. Now, if you're a police officer and you've got a high IQ and you're brilliant and you're awake, I'm not including you in that category. John might, I'm not. Because the reality is this. I've talked to some police officers before. I mean, they're going to have a hard time counting to 20 without using their fingers and toes. I mean, this is ridiculous. And see, that's the problem that you run into. They have no concrete rational thought. And so what we have to learn is this. That's what they want to have us breed. They want to be able to use test tube babies. They want to take somebody with a 85, 90 IQ so they can barely get by, and they want to breed them with an 85 or 90 IQ person, or use that in a test tube and use a surrogate to implant the embryo. And they want to have this drones class of people that are going to serve them. And then what they'll do, they'll allow the elite to continue to reproduce, and they'll allow them to be tied into the AI brain interface. Guys, if you think that this technology hasn't been seen on our planet before that we have now, you're absolutely wrong. This technology has been here before. If you go look at these ancient monuments, and I've seen a bunch of them, with these huge, huge, huge stones that have been literally melted into place through basically sound technology, through levitation technology. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, what we can do with, you know, with electricity, et cetera. The real energy here is in sound, sound levitation, acoustic technology. That's where it is with frequency. That's what we've had here before, and we're building towards that again. That entire avenue of science is kept away from us because they don't want us to do it. There's a really good video you could watch. It's some of the stuff is a little new age geometry. You can watch it. It's on semantics and the science of sound. And it talks about how sound can do anything. It can move giant blocks and boulders and everything else. The truth of the matter is this, guys. If we don't have that type of technology available to us, we can't do what the ancients did. That's why we can't replace some of these ancient structures they had, but they're using different technology now, but they still have not gotten that advanced. That's how they do the anti-gravity and everything else, is through this type of technology. So, guys, there's all kinds of stuff out there that was here before. We have that proven to us with these giant monuments. Austin, you remember when we crawled down inside the Great Pyramid in Giza. We went down inside the shaft, about 4 feet high. We went all the way down into the king's chamber, down there with that giant open sarcophagus, and all of those stones were put together inside of there. You couldn't even slip a razor blade between some of them. They were so tight. I mean, who does stuff like that? We saw this. Austin and I crawled down in there, and then we got hijacked by a bunch of camel jockeys and dragged out to the desert and got extorted for money, which is actually a true story. And it was a crazy story. I think I've told you guys that on the show before, the whole story on that. They were basically trying to extort us for cash to take us back to our car. They were going to leave us out in the desert like 3 or 4 miles, or who knows what else to us. Who knows what they're going to do to us. So the whole thing is nuts when you finally look back at what's happening with our technology today and these brain interfaces they're trying to develop or have already developed. That's where they're taking us. And see, the problem is, Austin, the vast majority of the population is sitting around eating their Doritos, loaded with their MSG every night, drinking their diet sodas, in a basically brain-induced alpha or theta wave stupor, watching TV because of flicker rates, being told what to believe, being told what to do in a partial hypnotic trance. That's what's going on right now. And so that's what they want. They want us to be in that veil the Bible talks about that surrounds the planet to keep us from thinking through what's going on, and maybe this isn't okay. I mean, if you have 100 healthy kids and you inject them with immunizations, and now you have 95 sick kids, there's a probability the immunizations cause that. But, oh, you can't think that way. Oh, no, that's anecdotal evidence. No, that's just clinical research as far as I'm concerned. What's your next story, bud?
Well, this is interesting with Switzerland now. The concerns about the link between the aluminum salts in deodorant and breast cancer, which we've talked about repeatedly, the antiperspirant deodorants with aluminum. In Switzerland now, a new bill was passed actually last month that will ban the ingredient entirely. It will also fund further research into the role of aluminum salts and what they do in breast cancer. Swiss scientists discovered last September that exposure to deodorants containing aluminum salts triggered tumor growth, which we've talked about for years. More deodorants on the market contain aluminum salts. Actually, almost all deodorants on the market contain aluminum salts, the ones on the shelf usually. Green MP Lisa Mazzone, who proposed the bill, said that the research carried out by the University of Geneva scientists has led to sufficient doubt about the safety of this. The aluminum compounds found in antidepressants temporarily block your sweat glands, and they build up in breast tissue, creating estrogenic-like effects. The University of Geneva study involved isolated human mammary cells, and the results were later replicated in studies with mice. They found that long-term exposure to aluminum salts in deodorant caused tumors and caused them to metastasize. This is something we have brought up for years and years and years. Nobody listens about it. Everybody thinks it's a joke. They use this stuff day in, day out, you're putting aluminum directly into your lymphatic system, right in your pores and your underarm. There's no good end to that at all. There's no upside to that. That's why we have the Tom's of Maine deodorant that we have, a basic one that we carry that a lot of people use. We also have the magnesium, Dead Sea magnesium oil deodorant that we have that's a very popular product as well. We sell a lot of it. There's very good natural alternatives on the market you can use for good quality, clean deodorants without putting aluminum salt in there. I'm surprised it's taken this long for Switzerland to figure this out. They've probably found it out before, but a lot of it's probably been suppressed. However, this time somebody actually got a hold of the information, and so now they're actually banning it over there, which I'm glad. They like to ban all this crazy stuff, like we're going to ban raw milk. You know, you can't drink raw milk, but they want to have fluoride in the water supply, fluoride toothpaste, aluminum deodorant. These are all personal care products that most people use on a regular basis that are filled with toxic ingredients that lead directly to long-term side effects, yet nobody wants to bring it up at all. They just want to say, oh, we're going to ban raw milk. Nobody should be allowed to buy raw milk, even though we used it for thousands of years. It's crazy to me, Dad, but I'm glad they did that research study in Geneva and actually got the attention of somebody, so they're going to pull this stuff out in Switzerland.
Agreed. I mean, now I don't like the Tom's deodorant. I use it every once in a while because we have it here at the house. I like our product a lot better. It works a lot better. The Tom's also has the product available with aluminum chlorhydrate in it, which I can't believe they compromised like that, but they did. So we have the Tom's. I know a lot of you guys use it, and it's okay if you like it with non-aluminum brand, but I think our product is a lot, lot better, and I use ours. In addition to that, unless I'm going to be outside sweating, doing heavy work or whatever, I don't really use deodorant every single day. And I don't want any funny jokes about that, guys. I know I got somebody, one of my buddies named Randy. I'm going to get an email from him about this. Oh, you don't use deodorant every day. I don't want to hear it, okay? Because I don't want to put anything under my arms into the lymphatics unless I need to. Now, our products I don't have a problem with, but you got to be careful with even ours because you don't want to overdo any of that stuff. Because, guys, you got to remember something. Your skin is what's called a semi-permeable membrane. It absorbs things. If you don't believe that, do this. Take a clove of garlic, fresh garlic, cut it in half, and rub it on the bottom of your feet. Just rub it on the bottom of your feet. You'll taste that garlic in your mouth in about 30 minutes. You'll taste it. You'll say, what's that taste? Well, that's absorbed right through the blood. That's how transdermal medications work. They go right through the semi-permeable membrane, which is your skin. That's how DMSO works. All these different things push the stuff right through the skin. That's why you be really careful when you add stuff to your skin, put stuff on your skin, and put things like aluminum chlorhydrate and fluoride and all these crazy things on your skin. No. It's not cool. And a lot of these detergents and stuff, they have so much estrogen compounds in them that you get this on your clothes and you're wearing this stuff all the time. You got to stay away from that. Oh, by the way, the consummate, filthy, D-rated comedian, Kathy Griffin, which is, she's not even funny. She's just a filthy, filthy woman. She's a nasty, foul mouth. She has now lost all of her gigs. Her only sponsor, by the way, was Squatty Potty. And her big CNN show is gone, done. Her nighttime gig there for the New Year's over with. And basically it says this right out of the Daily Wire. It says, when you get fired by Squatty Potty, things are going really badly. Squatty Potty is a little... I'll read you what it says. I'm not making it up. Squatty Potty is a little plastic stool you put under your feet when you're using the bathroom. The school helps them mimic a perfect squat. So that was her only sponsor. And now Squatty Potty has dumped her. And we're not saying that the 56-year-old's career, who has imploded after she released a picture of herself holding a bloody severed head after Donald Trump, isn't perhaps the perfect spokesperson for Squatty Potty. We're just noting that Squatty Potty decided to give her the walking papers also. So that everyone, CNN, after her waiting nearly a day, decided to can Griffin from her annual New Year's Eve speech. And what's really funny is this. It's like this. She's actually taken... Even the anti-Trump people are against her. It's amazing. And the people that are for Trump are against her. And she has pretty much single-handedly managed to get everybody hacked off at her. In fact, this article says, what's more, she united Trump haters and the haters of Trump haters into one faction, the Griffin haters. That's hard to do. So she's one of those girls, if I never see her again, which I never watched her anyhow, and then she tried to blame it on Trump. She did this, and then she tried to blame it. She said, old white men are after me. Old white men are after me. Hey, guys, that's a joke. That's something you played out for too long, and nobody's listening anymore. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. That blithering idiot got dumped by everybody, pretty much. I mean, like I said, I never really watched her at all. I never even knew much about her. But all I saw was the publicity she got holding up a severed head that looked like Donald Trump with blood all over it. I was like, you got to be one blithering idiot to get a photo like that, not just from the negative publicity you're going to get, just from a legal recourse standpoint. I mean, can you do that with the President of the United States and you expect there to be no blowback? What's crazy to me is there wasn't more blowback, considering the fact that if you would have had some white woman have a severed head of Obama with blood all over it, plastered all over the news back when he was president, there would have probably been more riots in the street to get another Ferguson incident. I mean, ridiculous stuff. But yeah, that whole thing was completely crazy to me when I saw that, but I'm glad she's pretty much in the can now. Now, so to speak. Google, it looks like they're facing a hefty fine now with the European Commission after the European Commission found the engine giant guilty of breaching antitrust rules following a 7-year investigation that was triggered by several complaints from Google U.S. and European companies. The company could be slapped with a whopping $7 billion fine now. The antitrust investigation against Google began in 2010 that stemmed from accusations that the interest search giant abused its dominant position to directly skew search engine results to favor its own shopping services. According to the report, Google previously made attempts to settle the case with former European Competition Commissioner Joanna Meuk to avoid having to pay a fine. All attempts were unsuccessful. The current commissioner, Martha Mistfeger, has expressed an unwillingness to settle with the company at all. This isn't the first time Google's been involved in very expensive complaints. 2016, the commission said the company broke antitrust rules by abusing its position by imposing restrictions on Android device manufacturers. Early this year, Google agreed to pay 306 million euros in back taxes to Italy and Ireland. And then also, too, they paid the UK government 130 million British pounds in back taxes over the last 10 years. Google is just an extension of the CIA, essentially. I mean, they work directly with them. Amazon now is turning into a direct extension of the CIA. What the government has done is it has all these different, and it's not just the government, so to speak, it's a lot of the globalists when you go together with it, with the acquisitions and mergers, with these giant companies that are buying up everything. Now you have Amazon that's reported, I think today, I got to double verify it again, but I'm pretty accurate when I read this earlier, that now if anybody is considered to be low income as far as on SNAP or EBTs, anything like that, Amazon is going to allow them to have Prime for 50% off, so they're not going to have to pay the full Prime fee. This, from a marketing standpoint, was genius. From a monopolizing the internet standpoint, another genius. From a globalist standpoint, it's genius. I can't stand Amazon, don't like anything they're really about, but what they're going to do now is they're going to try and appeal to the lower demographics that can't afford to do a lot of stuff on Amazon, so they can literally try and get every single person in the United States on Amazon Prime. Therefore, at that point, right now there's roughly 80 million Prime subscribers in the United States. As far as adults, I think there's average of 260, if I'm not mistaken, 260 million, roughly 260 million adults in the United States. So they're a little less than a third of the way there. If they can literally get almost every adult in the United States to have Amazon Prime, or every household, they will essentially completely control the entire online marketplace, because if you're paying for Amazon Prime, you are 99% of the time always going to shop on Amazon for your products or your gifts because of how fast the shipping is, and you're already committed monetarily with paying Prime every year. So the fact that they're doing this is showing me that these guys are growing rapidly, and they have a very, very aggressive idea of trying to take over the entire online retail market, Dad.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this is what they're doing. I mean, that's a brilliant marketing move, actually. I mean, just really brilliant. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't give them Prime for free. You know,
yeah.
I really am. I'm just, because I mean, that would have been even bigger for them. But remember, if you have 100 million people at $100 a piece, that's $10 billion coming in right there, just in straight profit, right? $10 billion, $100 million, that's right. $100 a piece.
I think so, yeah. Billion.
Yeah, $10 billion coming in right there out on the bottom line to start with, because you got Amazon Prime. And chances are, you know, they're having the, making the manufacturers, the people who make these products, eat the freight. I know when we basically, ship priority mail, which we ship almost everything priority mail, we have to eat the freight. We don't have somebody else paying for that. Okay. And we pay for it. And so it's just, so it's somebody else, but what they're going to do, they're probably making the manufacturer, if they're fulfilling the orders, they're probably billing them for fulfillment and billing them what do they charge? 17% off the top? Something crazy like that?
Yeah, 15% right off the top. Yep.
So I don't know. Oh, by the way, here's Daily Mail's got an interesting article. I like some of the positive stuff they come out with every once in a while, which is kind of rare with this group. It says, believing in God could help combat diabetes, controversial new research suggests. Accepting that someone created the universe helps sufferers, science say. It encourages patients with a preventable condition of diabetes to adopt a healthier diet. Feeling safe under God's care helps patients plan mealtimes with their partner. Eating together helps scrap the urge to eat junk food and products high in sugar, and this helps to control the condition and stop it from becoming deadly, they say. Believing in God could help to combat diabetes, controversial new research suggests. Accepting that someone created and now rules the universe encourages sufferers of this deadly condition to adopt a healthier diet. Feeling safe under God's care makes it easier for patients to plan a healthy diet with their partner, the study claims. So to me, guys, when I see something like this in the secular media, my response is bravo. I mean, we've all known that as Christians. When your rest is in God and you know that God's in control and you know God's going to take care of you regardless, it's really easy for you to relax and not stress out. It really is. If you think you're doing it on your own, I mean, if you really think this for a second that you came from a monkey, right? First of all, it doesn't work. You got convergent and divergent evolution, and it doesn't work. When you ask the scientists if human beings came from monkeys, if you ask the simple question, why are there still monkeys? They can't give you an answer, right? So the reality is this. You know, we didn't come from a monkey. God created us in his own image. You know, we're his DNA. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God Almighty. So is Adam. Like a rubber stamp. I mean, that's who we're created in the image of. Now, mind you, a rubber stamp after rubber stamp after rubber stamp after rubber stamp after eons of time, you know, we've lost a lot of our DNA strength, especially after the flood. But the reality is that's who we were created in his image. So if we believe we came from an ape, which is stupid, you know, you don't understand how the DNA coding works. You can't change the coding without changing the outcome and the results. DNA doesn't really mutate unless it's going to go badly. It's kind of like this. If you have a bucket of water and you pour it out, it pours out and goes to the ground because it's called gravity. It doesn't go the opposite direction and go up towards heaven. It doesn't do that. It goes down because energy follows the path of least resistance. And so this is a natural law that we have. Things don't want to become more complex. They would become less complex. If you have a beautiful car that's made out of metal and you put it out in a swamp and you don't touch it, it doesn't get shinier and get in better shape. It rusts, and in 100 years, it may not even be there anymore. It goes back into the dust of the earth, into iron, to its element. It doesn't get nicer. The same thing happens with DNA. DNA will adapt. You have something called natural selection. So if you have all of the lions out there who are the alpha males competing against other alpha males, the alpha males are left to breed, and the lion population stays strong. Right now in Africa, the lions in the wild have been so overhunted that their DNA has gone down so much they've lost like a lot of the alpha male characteristics because they're no longer being allowed to reproduce. That's okay. That type of reality is real. But as far as us changing our species and doing some cross-domain thing with a missing link, well, there's a reason there's a missing link, guys. It's missing. It never happened. And that's what people don't get. So we have to get the fact that our knee joint by itself is incredibly complex. That doesn't even hold a candle to how our kidneys function. And so all of this stuff didn't come crawling out of the slime and go, hey, wow, I want to be a kidney. It didn't do that. It doesn't work like that. And this is why we believe in God. We know God's going to take care of us. We put our rest in God and we stay healthier, a lot healthier. Austin, what do you think?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's so many other options now as far as being able to, from the natural route. I mean, what we've been able to find for the last you know, 15, 20 years as far as about health, nutrition, supplements, the different technology we've had, like the extract now, like turmeric, like being able to extract the extract oils out of the turmeric, just little stuff like that. We're starting to make it so much easier to live a very long, healthy life naturally. You just have to go out there and look for the information and start applying it. And that's why, you know, we do this show. That's why we have all the stuff that we have on the website that we all try out personally before we ever even buy it and stock it up and sell it. I mean, that's what we do with everything. That way we know it works, or else we don't have it on our shelves. We definitely don't have it on our website. So, I mean, there's just a lot of good stuff out there that you can do. Also, too, this is another article that just came out now. They're saying now that drone usage by local police and fire departments is quickly increasing and escalating. Approximately a dozen police and fire agencies surrounding Washington, D.C. now are using drones to capture criminal suspects and also fight fire. At least 347 state and local police sheriff's units in the United States have acquired drones now. According to the April report by the Center for Study of Drones at Bard College, more and more departments in the public safety space, particularly law enforcement, are acquiring drones for a range of operations. According to the Bard report, the Loudoun agency uses the Indago model made by Lockheed Martin with a price tag of $25,000. This is, again, was something that I talked about years ago when they first started having a few incidents happen. The first one, I think, was in South Dakota, Nebraska or something, with some farmers over a cow dispute, and they ended up setting up a drone over them and scoping out the entire property and seeing individuals there, then sending a police team. This is going to be the next step as far as law enforcement. They're going to start deploying drones over every major city, over the entire country, and they'll start spying on people from the air. They'll be watching what you're doing. They're going to say it's for your protection. It's to catch criminals, like they're already saying right now. It's to catch wildfires or surveillance, which that aspect, wildfires, I got that. Okay, I completely got that. You want to get a bird's eye view of what's going on? Great tool for that. Using them to catch criminals, using them for surveil cities, using them to spy on law-abiding citizens. Guys, it's not like we don't have enough spying going on with the NSA and the CIA and everything else going on. We don't need drones over our head, and now they're trying to sit there and justify weaponizing them with less lethals now in a lot of states. This is just something that needs to completely calm back down. Any drones in your city, state, county, you need to make sure you address it with local law enforcement. Also, get to know your local sheriff. Find out what they're about. See if they're a constitutionalist or they're all about forcing you to submit and serve them. Because a lot of these guys in the sheriff's departments now, more and more starting to see across the country, are getting on a power trip with especially all the weapons, the tools, the armored vehicles, the machine guns, all the stuff, billions of dollars in toys they've gotten from Homeland Security over the years through the program from Iraq and Afghanistan, sending all those toys back over here to the law enforcement areas. This is something everybody needs to keep an eye out on. And if you have the ability to make your voice heard locally, you definitely need to do so and make sure you know what's going on. Because drones over my head surveilling me, I'm not cool with it at all, guys. That's not something I'm about one bit.
Barney and Andy of Mayberry, Barney Fife. That was like one of my favorite shows as a kid. You know, that's what we're all about. But the problem is that, you know, Mayberry's gone, except for certain parts of the country. Up there in North Georgia, it's pretty much Mayberry still. And Hiawassee, and up there in the southern part of North Carolina, it's, you know, the southwestern portion, is pretty much Mayberry. And, you know, you kind of sit back and just chill out, and everybody's nice to everybody, and everybody does what they say they're going to do, and very, very little crime. Except for the heroin stuff, it's gotten kind of bad everywhere with all that and the drugs and the opiates. But, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be basically, you know, running around and not having to worry about shooting people and enjoying life, not having to lock our doors every night and have alarm systems and all this crazy stuff that people do now as far as to protect themselves, which sometimes isn't so crazy. It's necessary, especially in cities like Chicago. But, you know, that's what we want. We want that back. Now, one more thing I want to add to this before I jump off the subject and start talking too much about Barney. Here's the thing with these drones. We report on this show 2-3 weeks ago that they have the ability now to look through your walls with the Wi-Fi signal in the house and do a full 3D hologram of who's in the house and people walking around. They have the ability to pick out objects and actually see inside of the house using the Wi-Fi signals. And of course the 5G is going to enable that much more. And that's what the drones are going to be able to do. The drones are going to be able to fly all the way around the house properties, all the way around your house at night, and they're going to be able to look right through the walls and see you walking around inside of your Wi-Fi signal. Austin's right. This needs to stop. All of this needs to stop. This massive surveillance grid that we have now, including bringing in the head of the Stasi, like we talked about yesterday, to run the NSA, all of the Homeland Security, this also has to stop. By the way, Turkey has approved a bill allowing troop deployment to Qatar. Now, this is interesting to me because, remember, Jared Kushner went over there, met with these guys, and Trump did a few weeks ago. And suddenly these guys are like, you know, blackballing Qatar, which is why they were starting the war in Syria to start with, to get the gas pipeline from Qatar. This whole thing reeks of something else that's going on right now with Qatar. In the ongoing, I mean, right now Saudi's just given like the absolutely deadlines to Turkey, or to Qatar. In the ongoing diplomatic crisis between Qatar and its Gulf Arab peers, which is either the result of a Saudi natural gas envy, or for those who watch CNN, Russian hacking, Turkey has emerged as a vocal supporter of the small but wealthy state. Remember, they wanted to run this pipeline through Syria into Turkey. On Tuesday, Turkish President Erdogan defended Qatar, saying he personally would have intervened if accusations of the tiny Gulf Emirate supports terrorists were true, and said he intends to develop ties with the embattled Gulf state hit by sanctions from Saudi Arabia and its allies. Quote, "Let me say at the outset that we do not think the sanctions against Qatar are good," Erdogan said in a speech. "And Turkey will continue to develop our ties with Qatar, as with all of our friends who have supported us in most difficult moments." He added in reference to last year's failed coup, "The support puts Turkey in a complicated position because while the NATO member has some close ties with Qatar, it also has good relations with other Gulf states, especially Saudi Arabia. Turkey's support for Qatar has been ideological reasons, as in the past both have provided support to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and backed rebels fighting to overthrow the Syrian president Assad." Guys, there's something else going on about this. I think I'm going to ask Robert David Steele. I'm going to give him a call today or send him an email of what's going on with this. I may bring him back on to talk about this particular topic, because something else is going on right now in Qatar with Saudi Arabia that they're not telling us. So what do you think?
Yeah, I've thought the exact same thing, Bud. That's why I haven't really talked about it much this week, because I've been trying to do a little bit more research and dig down and figure out what's going on. As soon as I saw that, with Saudi having issues and Turkey having issues and all this stuff, all of a sudden everybody hating on Qatar, which is not like I'm a fan of them, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, very, very odd, especially how much the president's gone over there now, Kushner's gone over there now. The whole thing, like I said, or at least a large percentage of what started in Syria, was directly after Assad said, no, the Qatar pipeline was not going in, we're going to support our ally Russia and not completely cut them out with the pipeline. All of a sudden, they completely, the United States went in there and destabilized the entire country. Started funding ISIS, started sending in ISIS rebels, started sending them weapons, completely, I mean, just turned the country into, I mean, literally a full-blown civil war hellhole, and now all of a sudden everybody's mad at Qatar. So, yeah, I really would be curious to see what some on the back end is going on with some insight with this, because it's definitely not what we think it is. I can promise you that. There's something really strange going on behind the scenes over there. So I hope your buddy may have a little bit of insight, and I'd be very curious to know.
I'll contact him today. Oh, by the way, a congressman has now called for Christian holy war on the Islamic radicals. He said to kill them all. This is Louisiana. You gotta love Louisiana. A U.S. congressman from Louisiana posted Sunday on Facebook that all Christendom is at war with Islamic horror, and all radicalized Islamic suspects should be hunted and killed. This is Representative Clay Higgins' solution. He posted following a terror attack in London over the weekend that left at least 6 people dead. Higgins, who is known as the Cajun John Wayne, was elected in December between a runoff between Republicans with 56% of the vote, and represents southwestern Louisiana on the Gulf of Mexico. Every parish in his district voted for President Donald Trump. The congressman's post appeared along with a photo of a British officer standing over one of the London attackers. The terrorist drove a van into the pedestrian. So I just thought this was interesting. He was born and raised in Louisiana, attended Louisiana State University, and then served in the U.S. Army Louisiana National Guard as a military police officer. And he was an officer with the Opelousas Police Department until 2007, when he resigned just before he was set to be punished for using excessive force, according to The Independent. That wasn't the only law enforcement job Higgins had to leave. He was forced out of his job with the St. Landry Parish Sheriff after he described suspected criminals as animals he would hunt down in a Crime Stoppers video. Okay, I got to stop here for a second, okay? I'm not saying this guy isn't colorful. I'm not saying that he's not entertaining the masses. I'm just saying we can't run around and hunt people and kill them. That's just, we really can't do that. We're not at war with any individual group. This is the war on terror that George W. brought to us in Technicolor that basically Obama has continued in multi-technicolor, and Obama, you know, and Trump has continued in Technicolor. There is no such thing as a war on terror. If we leave them where they live, if we leave them in their home countries, and we don't import hundreds of thousands of terrorists into the country every year, we don't have to bring them here and hunt them down and kill them, Republican congressmen. I want you to know that. Why don't we address the immigration issue first and not going up and strapping up with rifles and guns to start hunting Muslims? I mean, this is just nuts, Austin. I mean, let's go back to the problem. And what he's doing is he's not understanding if the bridge is out and dead bodies are floating down the river and people are wondering where all these dead bodies are coming, maybe somebody needs to fix the bridge. That's the whole key here. Maybe we need to stop the immigration from coming in any longer. Maybe we just need to say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, you're right about that. He's definitely gotten completely out of control from that aspect. I mean, just sitting there and saying that a certain population needs to be hunted down, first off, I mean, the only time that really, in my opinion, killing anybody is justifiable is if it's in complete and total self-defense. Going out hunting people is not very justifiable. I understand where he's coming from the aspect of, you know, extreme Islam and what they're about, as I talked about yesterday. I mean, it's a very, very sadistic, satanic religion, in my opinion, at its base. And the ones that are really radicalized and they really believe in everything with Sharia law, most of them turn out to be very, very hostile, violent. And when they start becoming in populations much larger, to 2-3% of the population, they start trying to overtake everything and force it in their favor. That is not something we can allow to have happen. Nor is it something that we can capitulate with and sit back and let it happen. But as Dad said, we need to look at the root cause and not stop bringing these guys over here from these countries and allowing them to come in here and feed them, clothe them, house them, give them free businesses, give them free money. And then as they get bigger, we wonder why they still hate us, because we bombed their country, honestly, in the first place, and it's just an incredibly hateful religion. I mean, the whole religion is just steeped in hate from the very basis. So you're taking a religion that has nothing but just absolute sadistic hatred from the base, and you're trying to bring it in with a religion like Christianity in the United States. The two don't mesh with one another whatsoever. So, yeah, but hunting them, that's definitely a bit far, Deb.
By the way, the situation in Venezuela continues to erode. And here's the interesting thing to me. Let me just say this. You know, I'm not a big interventionist. You know, I kind of think we need to kind of leave our country alone and not be putting bases in 1,000 places around the world. But we've got a country that's right across the Gulf of Mexico from us down here that's basically imploding. And I understand the Sabbatean Kabbalists want to do that because they wanted their gold back and Chavez had to die. I got it. That's how they feel. Okay, I got that. But that's not okay with me. I mean, why don't we send in some aid or send in some troops and try to fix this mess in Venezuela? Now, you very rarely ever hear me say anything about country intervention like this, but guys, Venezuela has huge oil reserves. I mean, this is where Citgo gets their oil from. I mean, there's no reason we can't go down there, fix their mess, and then build them for the expenses. I mean, there's no reason we can't do that. We have the ability to do that. That's my opinion. Now, a lot of you guys could say, well, we're not going to do that. Let them just die down there. Well, I don't feel that way because I'm a Christian, and these guys are close to us, and these guys actually have the ability to pay for us to help them a little bit. This is from RT Today. A U.S. reporter was basically told that she needs to be burned alive because she's talking about what's happening down there. The U.S. Journal covering the mass opposition protests in Venezuela told RT that she reviews numerous direct death threats during her work on the ground. Abby Martin, the host of the Empire Files investigative report for Pan Latin America Network, has been reporting on the events and the opposition riots in Venezuela. Now, here's what's also going on in Venezuela. And this is just something I'm just going to just throw on out there. We probably caused that. The United States CIA probably undermined this entire government down there to get control of their assets. Now you think, well, that's not true, but that is probably true, Austin. I mean, this country just kind of imploded all by itself. Somebody has to fund these protests. Like you were talking about the other day, about how in the United States, how over in the Middle East, how everybody runs around with new Toyotas, and how we happen to lose $1 billion worth of weapons over there. Somebody's funding it. And almost invariably, when you look deep enough under this rock and you try to find out who's involved with all this, it's going to be these Sabbatean Kabbalists, who are these international bankers that are trying to come in and seize the assets of this country using our covert forces or our CIA or their mercenary groups that they bring in to overthrow this country to come in and take their stuff. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's definitely not something that we can continue to do. Like you said with the Toyotas, I mean, it's just everything we do, it constantly seems like we're funneling more money into more countries. You know, like yesterday I talked about the Air Force. They want another, you know, $11 billion for this and that. And, you know, I completely don't have a problem with having a strong military as large as this country is. But we need to start looking at where all this money's going, where it's being funneled. I mean, when you start looking at the hundreds of military bases that we have all over the country, like you just mentioned, all these military members, service members that are spread out over the entire globe. I mean, we're the largest military, yet we're one of the most significantly indebted countries in the whole world. It's like we're like that big guy on the block that has every single toy you can buy, that every single one's financed, every single credit card's maxed out, every bill's late, but yet everybody's just like, oh yeah, he's got this, he's got that. The United States has to try and bring and scale everything back and stop funding all this global just nonsense is what we have to do. But again, that would mean that the globalists can't continue to fund all their black ops and do all the nonsense they do with the CIA, because that's where a lot of this stuff ends up going when they have these giant budgets, as we saw directly with the military blatantly saying that they lost $1 billion worth of arms that they sent to Iraq 2 years ago and have absolutely zero idea where they went. We know where they went. They went to ISIS, same place all those Toyotas went. That's where this goes all the time. So unless we can actually go in and start taking control of our money system again, man, that's the biggest aspect. That's one of the biggest things the Rothschilds have always said. If they can control the money, they can control the population. If we can take our money system back and stop having this money printed out of nothing, irredeemable paper currency printed out of nothing, handed out for free so they can go and fund all these secret operations all the time, that right there would cause so much significant uproar in the globalist community. That's what we said from the beginning. When Trump got elected, the biggest thing he could do is address the Federal Reserve and figure out how to get them back under control. Because honestly, until we can get the Federal Reserve under control and whack the head off the snake, it's going to be very, very difficult to make any true significant progress in the United States with the government. Because as long as they still control the money, they control almost every aspect of what goes on up there, Dad.
And we talked about this before Trump ever came into office. We said if we don't have this happen in the beginning, he's never going to get a handle on this. And now he's put a bunch of Goldman Sachs people right back into these positions where they always are. Nothing's changed because we're not taking control of the money system. By the way, the U.S., where do we rank as far as a list of most peaceful nations in the world? We're actually number 114. I mean, that's pretty bad. And I mean, it's really bad, actually. This most recent ranking sees the U.S. down 11 places from the previous year. And it drops us below Armenia and Rwanda and El Salvador, and China's right behind us. Iceland remains the most peaceful country in the world, a position it has held since 2008. By the way, they threw the bankers out of there years ago, around 2008, 2009. It is joined at the top of the index by New Zealand, Portugal. I disagree with Portugal. There are a bunch of weirdos in Portugal. And guys, if you're from Portugal, forgive me, but there's a bunch of weirdos over there. I've been there. Austria, really pretty peaceful. And Denmark. Now, Austria is trying to limit the amount of people they're bringing in. There's also very little change at the bottom of the index. Syria is the least peaceful country in the world. I mean, why is that? Because we started a civil war, followed by Afghanistan, Iraq, South Sudan, and Yemen. So considering the recent world and current events, it may come as a surprise to some that Syria wasn't always at the bottom of the list, and we have the 114th most peaceful country to blame on this dilemma. In 2008, Syria was ranked 75, following 8 years of Assad's rule, as well as the rule of his father for 29 years beforehand. The other countries at the bottom of the list, including Syria, are actively being bombed into oblivion by the United States. I'm going to repeat that. The other countries at the bottom of the list, including Syria, are actively being bombed into oblivion by the United States. So what could they be behind America's own deterioration, given it prefers to take its conflict thousands of miles away? The U.S. deterioration is primarily driven by the growing intensity of internal conflict within the country,
which is partly seen in a divisive 2016 presidential election, as well as the increases in the perceptions of criminality across the American society, the analysis said. So what they're saying basically is we've stopped raising little Americans and little patriots. That's what it says. We've stopped doing what we did to raise children who are godly. We've stopped going to our churches and worshiping God the way we should. We've stopped practicing what we preached on Sunday mornings, and we've allowed ourselves to get sucked into this world through Hollywood, through these Sabbatean Kabbalists, and because of their filth, we basically have allowed ourselves to deteriorate to the bottom of the pile as far as countries in the world. And it's sad because we are now bombing all these other countries and then turning around and bringing the people like Austin said that we bombed into our country, telling them to be nice now. I, quite frankly, if I was one of them, I probably would have a hard time being nice simply because the great Satan, as they call us over there, has basically killed my entire family or destroyed my way of life or destroyed my country. But it doesn't make any sense to me why we would bring them in after we did that. I mean, this whole thing is that sometimes things make stupid sense in a stupid kind of way. This doesn't even make stupid sense the way we've done this. It's just we need to just clean this mess up. And again, Austin said it, if we don't get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, if we don't get rid of all of this stuff and cut the head off the snake and giving them the ability to control us through fiat currency, it's never going to be better. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Wow, what a quick hour. I hope those who are listening live got to hear some of the broadcast. Hope we came back online. So, guys, I want to thank you. I want to appreciate you for the fact that you've been here for us. Yesterday, I spoke to Julie for a bit on the phone, one of our longtime customers who's known me all the way back since Rod Parsley back in the mid-2000s, 2004, 2005, and wonderful person, wonderful family. And I want to thank you all, including Julie and her family, all of the people out there that have continued to support us, get their supplements from us, listen to the show every single day, and just basically be here for us. And guys, if you can't support us by getting your supplements through us because you've got some problems from a cash flow standpoint, please support us through prayer. And just allow us to continue to be a blessing to you every single day. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless you, Austin. I'll write up the show notes.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the emails. And thank you for just all the thank yous. You know, we get a lot of those, too. People emailing us up, thanking us for everything we're doing as far as giving them the information and helping them out. If you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. Lots of good information on there, free videos, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Check out the product of the week as well. Talked about it yesterday, the probiotic, 100 billion CFUs. They're in nitrogen blister packs, and they don't have to be refrigerated, which is one nice aspect of those. So they're on sale right now for 10% off on the website. If you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.